Wrestling better back in the day, but music most certainly was. Although, as I look at this video here on YouTube, Shoe Bop, Dion and the Belmonts.
Great name.
This lovely song from the 50s. And they've got some scenes from the 50s that are flashing across the screen here as we listen to this beautiful song. Such as soldiers in Vietnam torching forests. That's nice. But I guess that was the 50s.
In Vietnam?
Well.
Sure's Korea?
Might have been Korea. I don't know where it's from. It says here U.S. troops were in Nam before 1965.
No, I wasn't there. I don't know.
Although most likely this probably was not Vietnam. Although I don't know when this song was made either. Maybe this was 1964. Probably not. Vietnam War started in 1956 between the South Vietnamese Army and the Viet Cong. What a depressing way to get this show started.
Or torment.
Cruising 1957. Back when music was music.
This is a pretty cool song.
We got some television to talk about today, everybody. We've got some SmackDown, which actually was a great show, I thought.
Oh, yes, totally.
God damn, that was a great show. Mm-hmm. Raw sucked a big one.
Also true.
And what else did we see today? We saw some Jimmy Valiant, which was beyond awesome. In fact, not only did we see Jimmy Valiant today, but Jimmy Valiant's opponent was number one Paul Jones in a tuxedo street fight. This was money. This was money. And we watched Mr. Perfect versus Bret Hart, SummerSlam 1991. How many times have we reviewed that on this show? About 10 times?
This will be minimum the third review. Probably a lot more.
I don't mind reviewing it again. It's still great. And Bret Hart still wins.
That's true.
And also report on Curt Hawkins as host of 24/7. I know Vinny has a lot to say here. I'm rather ambivalent to it. And I think that's everything we got to talk about today. I think we watched something else, but it doesn't appear that you... Oh, yeah.
I didn't take any notes on it. There's nothing to type, but it was the Yokozuna Body Slam Challenge.
On the USS Intrepid, yes.
On the boat, yes.
So we'll talk about that here today as well. So great show coming up here on the Brian and Vinny Show, November 2nd, 2011, here at figure4online.com/wrestlingobserver.com. And may as well just start off by saying, I'm going to talk about Raw first so that we finish on a high note. This show just absolutely sucked. And listen, if you liked Raw, then you may as well turn off the show right now. Apparently, I have learned that there is a segment of our listening audience who, if we don't agree with them, they get mad at us.
Oh, yeah, yeah. There's a lot of people like that in the world, actually.
Yeah. This is just my opinion, everybody. But it is an objective opinion. The show sucks. This is a measurable fact. I could ask Stephen Hawking, and he could give me an equation to describe how bad Ross sucks nowadays. An objective fact, this is. This show sucks.
It was really terrible. Going into the show, I was looking forward to the Muppets. You were not looking forward to the Muppets.
Mm-mm.
I did not think the Muppets were terribly funny, but they were still far and away the best thing on the show.
Wow.
Yeah.
See, this is where we get back to having standards. Yes, the Muppets were the best thing on one of the worst Raws in a long time. If you want to take that as a plus, well, it is a plus.
Imagine how bad the show would have been without the Muppets.
Ed was just going nuts on Facebook last night and texting me, talking about how the Muppets, it was the best Raw of all time, how this show was great. And listen, the Muppets weren't terrible. They were on the show. That's the best I could say. As I noted yesterday, I was ambivalent to the Muppets. It was not Dr. Ken. That was way worse, sure. I was not sold on the idea of Dolph Ziggler selling for a puppet. Or as somebody pointed out, Brian, it's a combination marionette and puppet. That's why it's called a Muppet. Regardless, Dolph Ziggler selling for a Muppet. Let's think about this. I just watched Mr. Perfect and Bret Hart, which was outstanding.
Mm-hmm.
I also saw Lex Luger body slamming Yokozuna. None of those four men were ever doing a skit with a Muppet. They just weren't. Unless they went on the Muppet Show. That's something entirely different. You know, a serious wrestler can be a guest on the Muppet Show. Or the Muppets can come to Raw and you can put Santino or Vicky Guerrero or your average dork with the Muppets, and that's fine. But putting somebody who actually has potential, like Dolph Ziggler, with a Muppet, it just doesn't work. It just doesn't work, everybody. And, listen, as I said last week, I was the biggest fan of the Muppets that there ever was. If Ed in San Antonio thinks he was the biggest Muppets fan of all time, he's wrong. It was me. You didn't do a letter-writing campaign, Ed. That I can guarantee. For various reasons. But, fact of the matter is, you didn't do a letter-writing campaign. I did. With that said, this was not the best show of all time. If anybody thought this was the best show of all time, they didn't watch the actual, pure, legit Muppet Show. Because real Muppet Show was great. And this was a bunch of puppets on Raw.
Did you happen to see the comment... Someone put a comment on our board, copied and pasted from a Muppets board.
No.
Yeah. They didn't like the show either. And their problem with it was they wanted the wrestlers to be the comic foils who put the Muppets over.
Oh, really?
They were upset that the wrestlers were not blown up or, fall off a cliff or whatever happened in the Muppet Show. And they said they couldn't do this because, I'm not making up what this person said, they couldn't do this because it would show their wrestlers were fake. This person was apparently claiming that wrestling is fake, but the Muppets were real.
Yeah.
And they refused to put the Muppets over. Those fake wrestlers.
You know one thing about the Muppets, too, that bothered me? Aside from the real fake aspect of it that this Muppet fan is pointing out here. That Jim Henson is dead. Is it really that hard to find somebody that can do Kermit? Because this was a poor Kermit.
Dude, when he... I don't know who's doing the voice now. When he first passed away, his son started doing it. That was 1,000 times worse.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's the same guy. He's gotten better. It has been about 20 years. But I'm fine with Kermit. Whoever's doing Statler and Waldorf now are not good.
Yeah.
A lot of guys are still around. Fozzie's the same guy. Piggy's the same guy. Actually, these may all be the same voice. I don't think about it. But yeah. I don't know. It was like, at worst, it was inoffensive, dumb comedy. At best, I guess Ed thought it was the funniest thing he ever saw. But like I say, regardless, they are for sure the best thing on the show. But here's what gets me about this particular program. As you noted, I haven't read your newsletter, but I'm sure this is what it says. This is the worst booked Raw in a long time as far as building to a pay-per-view. Mm-hmm. The WWE champion lost clean. His challenger got a match by torturing him because he can't actually beat anyone. None of this... They had the U.S. champion jobbing to Muppets. You had the Intercontinental champion putting a bag on a Sox head. And I didn't care about any of that because I know...
Bang on a sock's head.
That's what he did.
And well...
No, I don't care about any of this because, like, you say you get upset when they do stupid stuff with Dolph because Dolph has potential. I don't get upset because I know they're not going to do anything with Dolph. I refuse to put my faith in this anymore. I'm not going to let them take the rug out from under me. I know every once in a while, Dolph will go on a 3 or 4 match win streak, and then he will do something stupid and lose to Zack Ryder or lose to a Muppet. And that's just the way it is. So I don't get upset when it happens. Same thing with Cody. And even now, as I realized on the show, same thing with Alberto, same thing with CM Punk. CM Punk got pinned clean, Alberto got pinned clean. By the Big Show. I don't remember the last time he won a match clean, frankly. And I didn't care. Just rolled off my back. I didn't give a shit. Because the truth is, if you watch the show, Alberto's a geek. He's a geek who happens to have the WWE title. That doesn't mean he's not a geek. It makes the belt look bad. But that's neither here nor there.
Oh, that's here and there.
Right, well,
in my opinion. Personally.
Yeah. But I give it up on the belt, too. And I have, CM Punk still can't win a match. But he can come in and clean up the scraps after the Big Show has done the dirty work. And this qualifies him for a title match. And I don't care. Because I don't know I don't know why they bothered to re-sign the man. They clearly have no plans for him. So whatever. I don't give a shit. But the one guy who I thought they may care, the one program I thought they may care was John Cena and The Rock.
You were wrong.
Oh my God, I was wrong. So I went through this whole show not caring, realizing it was stupid, but not letting it affect me emotionally. And then the main event happened with the main event finish. And then I got pissed. And by this point, it was like 3:30 Halloween night. I was tired. I was crabby. I was angry. And it was one where I just sat there. I felt embarrassed for having spent 2 hours of my life watching the show. I have no desire to ever watch Monday Night Raw ever again.
Wow.
They have forgotten how to tell basic stories. By the end of the show, The Rock opened the show saying he was going to wrestle the Survivor Series because, God damn it, the fans wanted to see Miz and Truth get beaten up. Miz and Truth got beaten up on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Rock's job is done. He can go back to making G.I. Joe. We don't need to see him anymore.
Yeah.
John Cena don't need a partner. Last week, he won the match against two men. But I suppose afterwards, sure, they roughed him up a bit. And they walked out while he was laid on the mat. So, okay.
But this week, doesn't happen on 80 shows.
That too. This week, he won via pinfall, fought them both off, and left them laying. John Cena had interference from the Scream Killer and still pinned the Miz.
Mm-hmm.
Then he beat up R-Truth too. And made fun of him. Why the fuck do you need a partner now? Why the fuck should anyone care?
Well.
God damn it. Let's talk about SmackDown. I don't want to talk about fucking Raw anymore.
Show sucks.
This show sucks a cock.
I really don't understand how people can defend this show.
No.
This is a terrible wrestling show. I was making a list of all the matches that CM Punk lost. If CM Punk had just beaten Alberto Del Rio in a non-title match to win a championship bout at Survivor Series, fine. But John Cena lost at SummerSlam, Night of Champions,
CM Hell Punk in a Cell, mean.
Vengeance, and on this show. And that qualified him for a championship match. And he bitched and cried and acted like an asshole for the last 2 weeks of John Laurinaitis. Which, granted, John Laurinaitis is a heel, but a grating character. More grating than even I am on this program. And then he got a championship match because after a man had been pinned clean by another man.
Knocked out cold.
He was knocked out cold by another man who was not getting a championship match, by the way. He was knocked out clean by another man and then Punk put him in a hold when he was unconscious and defenseless.
Mm-hmm.
And the man gave him a match at the pay-per-view. This show sucks.
And the fact that we have to see the cold Jim Ross feud stretched out another week. I don't care why. I don't want to see it anymore.
It was
why
funny.
Is it relevant?
This is another thing for folks that thought that show was great. What's funny is, like, usually the wrestlers don't give a shit. Like, the wrestlers don't care how stupid the booking is. But last night, even the wrestlers were just completely baffled by the John Cena thing. I mean, nobody has any idea what's going on anymore. It used to be that people paid attention to their own segments and they got pissed or not pissed, depending on whether they were used well and that sort of thing. But this was an example where everyone was just baffled.
Uh-huh.
Texting each other all night, like, what the fuck? What is going on? No one knows. It is a grand mystery. There are many people that concluded last night that Vince has just completely lost his touch. He just has absolutely no idea.
Yeah.
He's just no idea anymore.
It's very hard to argue otherwise.
Yeah,
I couldn't do it.
It is getting to the point now where he is not a good wrestling booker anymore.
No.
He sucks at his
you
job.
You don't say.
Well, you know, every now and then. See, here's the difference. Here's the difference. TNA, the storylines are always stupid. But every now and then in WWE, they have a stretch of time where the show's good and where obviously they have a direction and they go with it. But those times are getting few and far between.
Yes.
And you start to look back and you go, what were some of the great programs? Let's see. There was that one with Shawn Michaels and Chris Jericho. That was awesome. Then you realize...
That was 2003.
No, the one they did... it wasn't 2000. Michaels and Jericho?
I'm sorry. I was thinking the WrestleMania match they had.
Yes, the,
they had a great feud more recently than that.
Yes, but then you think about that and you go, okay, why was it great? Well, Chris Jericho and Shawn Michaels put it together.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Then you go, oh, let's see. What else was great? The Hunter-Undertaker match. Oh, who put that one together? Hunter and Undertaker.
Yeah.
Then you think back and you start to realize that all of the shit that has been good was put together by veterans who were given freedom.
Yeah.
Nothing of late, nothing maybe in years, nothing long-term that is any good has been put together by Vince McMahon. The man has lost it. The man has lost his touch. Vince McMahon is no good anymore. Hopefully he's listening to this right now and he goes, God damn it! I'll show these people! But that ain't gonna happen.
No.
Guy's lost his touch, everybody. Hate to break the news to y'all, but that's just a fact. Now, SmackDown was great, but a lot of that was, great wrestling matches.
It was great because it was simple.
A lot of great wrestling.
It was predictable, and that's fine, because it all made sense.
Well, I'm sure Vince McMahon oversaw the script for that show as well.
I don't think he cares about SmackDown.
Actually, that's largely true. But, SmackDown was good, Raw was bad. Raw is Vince McMahon's baby. There are other people working on SmackDown. He does not care as much as he does about Raw.
We did not talk about how Natalya, who last I checked is a heel, was beating out three women by herself in the Battle Royal until one of them cowardly attacked her from behind a dumper.
Mm-hmm.
And the only other thing I have to mention, there was one other highlight to Raw, and it wasn't even a highlight itself, but it pointed to a highlight. Jerry Lawler mentioned Wimp Busters. If you've never seen the Wimp Busters YouTube video, where Jerry Lawler it's Jerry Lawler singing a song about beating up wimps. The wimp in question is Jimmy Hart. So this one, obviously right after Ghostbusters came out, 84 or something. It's amazing. And not necessarily in a good way. So the fact that Jerry Lawler plugged this is I give credit to the man. He can laugh at his own weaknesses sometimes.
Listen to the King and Wimp Busters.
What a coincidence.
Good find.
Because it's better than Raw.
I think Jimmy Valiant's in it too.
Oh!
I ain't afraid of no wimp.
For some reason, I've got no video on my screen. But I can't start it over.
Huh.
When you're getting sand kicked in your face, who you gonna call?
Oh, there we go.
Your screen's ever kicking?
Yes.
In his place, who you gonna call?
Look at that mama. Jimmy Valiant, I believe, just kissed Jerry Lawler.
Entirely possible.
I ain't afraid of no wimp.
That was the first time I saw Jerry.
Yeah.
I ain't afraid of no wimp.
Is that the one part where he sings into the mic and then to the part where he looks down to the side?
Yes.
Yeah.
uncomfortably.
Yes, classic karaoke move.
If you break in line, you pay the fine. You'll have to face.
This is awesome. I'm putting this on the front page.
I ain't afraid to know when. I'll beat all of you wimps.
I'll beat all of you wimps.
I ain't afraid of no wimps.
Yeah.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
His haircut is astonishing.
That's true, too.
There's Dutch Mantel! Jimmy Hart is getting busted.
Hey, what's going on in here? The whole ring's filling up with Hart's first family. They're turning this thing into a brawl. They got him in the corner, bleeding and just about out of it. Oh, that's great. 4-on-1. Let's get this thing stopped. We need some help. Get him in here. Somebody call the Whipbuster.
There's some great wrestling action here.
I'm sure there is.
Jerry Lawler punching heels right and left.
Sounds awesome.
Bustin' makes me feel good.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. We'll be hearing that one for years.
I ain't afraid of no wimp.
He just busted some woman there, it looked like. Oh, Jimmy. What in God's name is he wearing?
He's won at school, and he's breaking rules.
That's the best thing I've ever seen. Jimmy Hart is looking through a hole in a wall and a girl reading a magazine.
Who are you gonna call?
Lawler strutting through a field.
Who are you gonna call?
This is amazing.
I can't hear you.
They gotta put this on Raw. Now they're trying to spin Lawler around like he's breakdancing. There's the Ghostbuster symbol with Jimmy Hart's face. Oh, my God.
Yep.
Yeah, that was awesome.
That was better than Raw.
That was goddamn the best thing I ever seen.
Thank you, Jerry, for pointing that out.
I'm going to put that on the front page as we speak. Wow. There you go, everybody. That was your song for the day. That made me feel better.
Yes.
It doesn't take much to make me feel better, everybody.
Joyous laughter will get the
job
done.
I just have to stop watching complete bullshit, yeah. Which was what Raw was Monday. Any other notes from SmackDown? What should I call this? Video. Jerry.
Say Wimp Busters. Jerry Lawler's Wimp Busters?
Lawler's Wimp Busters.
But Jerry Lawler sings Wimp Busters.
All right. That's all caps, by the way.
Sure.
Sings Wimp Busters. All right. You guys are being taken behind the scenes right here as I post on the front page. Look at how easy that was.
It's a shoot, brother.
It is a shoot. Let me see if it's saved. I believe it has. There you go. Video. Jerry Lawler sings Wimp Busters. Awesome! There you go. Anything else? Let me like it as well with that deal back there. I like fucker this. Post to Facebook. That was easy. Good. See how easy this internet thing is, everybody?
A master at work, everyone.
I could even tweet it if I wanted to. All right. What are we talking about here?
SmackDown.
Is there anything else of note?
We had 2 3-star matches on the show.
We did, in fact. That's correct.
Which do you think was better, Orton, Dolph, or Punk and Christian?
Orton and Dolph was better.
I thought so, too.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Yeah, they were both very good. So.
Oh, look, somebody already has liked my link. Garrett Gonzalez likes my link. It looks so stupid on my page. Because there's no picture. There's just a chain. You know that chain link? I like this, and there's a chain link. And it says, video, Jerry Lawler sings Wimp Busters. All right, everyone.
Yeah, we had 2 great matches, and we had a great segment with Big Show and Mark Henry.
Mm-hmm.
Where Show wants another match, and Mark Henry said no, but he was willing to fight. To which Big Show replied, "I'm your Huckleberry."
Yeah.
The largest Val Kilmer ever. And Henry's a coward, and he declined. It's much better than I'm making it sound.
Yeah, you sucked at that.
I did. I was all horrible. But I'm still not fully over Raw.
Fuck Raw! What else happened on SmackDown?
Those are the 3 big things. The 2 great matches in the promo. We had a fun tag match with Air Boom versus Mizzen Truth. Or Mizzen Truth won. Because, you see, they're going to be in a main event. So they should win matches.
Well, also, Evan Bourne failed a wellness test.
That didn't hurt their odds, no.
Actually, though, I'll bet they probably didn't know that at the time. Although they certainly knew on Raw, and they didn't take the titles off of them. Nor did they take the titles off of them on SmackDown this week. Because Evan Bourne is gone for 30 days with the championship. Because that's what they do! They don't think.
Yeah. Wade Barrett and Trent Beretta had a boring match with a great finish. Which, actually, I think they did again on Raw. Or worked off it on Raw. But Trent tried a Hurricane Rana, but Wade overpowered him and wouldn't go down. And then he hurked him up for a powerbomb, and in one motion rotated him all the way over onto his shoulders and hit the wasteland for the pin.
Mm-hmm.
That was awesome.
It looked great on Raw, too, with Evan.
Yeah. Everything else about this was just boring. A Brodus Clay hype video where he called himself, among other things, the fall of humanity.
I love Brodus.
We had a very good fake Sin Cara promo where he went back and forth between Spanish and English, but he was very pissed off. He said Sin Cara Azul had taken his face and now it was payback time. Daniel Bryan beat Tyson Kidd in 3 minutes. It was a 3-minute match. They did what they could.
I like that match.
It was
Daniel good. Bryan won!
Yeah.
That's newsworthy.
You're right. Daniel Bryan got to beat somebody for once.
The feud was built on who was better, Shawn Michaels or Bret Hart.
And this proves that Shawn Michaels was better.
Yeah.
Case closed. And then we had CM Punk and Christian in the main event. And it was a good match. There were probably some who thought it was better than Dolph and Orton, although Brian and I agree.
Those people are crazy.
Dolph and Orton was better.
Dolph and Orton was a great match.
The highlight of that was Orton was in the a camel clutch, and as he was selling, Vicky was screaming at him and whatnot, and as he was selling, Orton screamed, "Shut up!"
I liked that match a lot. They worked very hard, and they had a good match, and they did a lot of wrestling.
Yeah.
Yay!
I didn't know here this was the most old-school match of the year, full of leapfrogs, tackles, and headlocks.
Seriously, everybody, if you haven't seen SmackDown yet, it's up on the front page of our website. If you saw Raw and were pissed off, or if you didn't see Raw yet, don't watch it.
Skip Raw.
Go up and watch SmackDown. That was a great, great program.
There was one. They did a spot early in the main event here that I must mention. CM Punk wrestling Christian, the two skinniest dudes in the company. And very early on, CM Punk knocked him down with a shoulder tackle and hit the Lex Luger muscle flex.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
I didn't get a chance to watch ROH yet. How was the show?
It was good.
Was this at the Davis Arena?
Yes, in Louisville, Kentucky.
How'd it look?
Good. It's clearly a smaller building than what they've been doing, but it looked full, and the crowd was totally into it. And it was an ROH crowd and not an OVW crowd, and that's not a critique of which company is better or which fans are better, but they were totally into these ROH-style matches.
Good.
Yeah. There weren't, it's right wing of honors. There were two matches. He had Mike Mondo and TJ Perkins.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. They did pre-tape promos for this. TJ Perkins came off just like any young MMA guy, frankly, talking about traveling over the world looking for the best competition. He had found it here in ROH.
Well, his initials are TJP.
Yes.
He does a GSP gimmick.
I see.
Yeah.
So then Mondo came on, and he's Mike Mondo. He's a total cartoon. An old school wrestling heel with imaginary lat syndrome.
He didn't come out to Godzilla, did he?
No, it's a... No.
I know. But that's a disaster.
He does still have a sign saying Godzilla fears Mondo. And they did a... It was a very strange... It was Mike Mondo doing a Ring of Honor match. And Mike Mondo is an old school heel wrestler. And he never cheated here. He didn't sneer at the fans or anything. He did put TJ in a lot of holds, so the fans would get into TJ's comeback when he finally escaped them. But other than that, he kept up with the style and looked fine. He did get a brand new body, by the way.
Hmm.
And eventually, TJ won with the Maha Straw Cradle. It was good. Did a lot of plugging for Final Battle in the show. They did not book any matches except the Wrestling's Greatest Tag Team will defend their titles in the show against the winner of an All-Night Express Briscoe Brothers match that takes place next week. We had a Briscoe Brothers promo where they talked about all this, and it was great, of course. They talked about how they've beaten All-Night Express thousands of times. They beat them again next week, and then they win the world titles at December. And then It actually got even better after the promo. They just started shouting, seven time, over and over again. Taking turns, seven time, seven time, seven time. And finally, I don't even know what Mark was screaming. He may have just been grunting with the rhythm. And they started shouting, man up at each other. Then they started headbutting each other, and then forearming each other, and kicking each other. And then they hugged.
I gotta go watch this right now.
These men rule.
They are the best thing in wrestling.
They are.
They really are.
They are.
If you don't believe it, you're not watching ROH. That's just a fact.
Wrestling's greatest tag team said they were cheering for the Briscoes next week because they still have not gotten revenge. This is a lesson for Raw. They still have not gotten revenge for the chair attack that happened in June.
Mm-hmm.
When you build the things, it gets a sense of anticipation, and people look forward to it, and then enjoy the payoff. These are the things I must explain slowly like I am talking.
Oh, Vinny.
Oh, they are. We had a long video package on Roderick Strong, Truth Martini, and Davey Richards. The gist of this was that because Roddy lost to Davey last week, or 2 weeks ago, he is not going to get the title shot at Final Battle, which apparently is going to be the next title shot, by the way. Which is also a lesson. If you have a few title shots a year, they become very important. So since he's not getting the title match, his goal now is he's issued an open challenge for the pay-per-view. He wants ROH to find the best wrestler they can, and his goal is to beat this wrestler in a great match and steal the show from Davey just to make him miserable.
That's a good goal.
Great! And he's also wrestling Kyle O'Reilly next week, who is a Davey Richards protege. He vowed to beat him up. We had Kevin Kelly plugged a new team debuting next week. He gave no other information. Maybe it'll be the New Generation. And then we had the main event of...
Well, it wouldn't be the New Generation unless they got a video, an accompanying video, which they didn't get.
And the announcer saying it was a really refreshing team.
Refreshing.
Yeah. And we had the main event, Jay Lethal versus Mike Bennett. This is the best Mike Bennett match I think I've seen. He has looked really good, and Jay Lethal's really good, of course. And the finish was they went 15 minutes. With about 30 seconds to go, Lethal missed his top rope elbow, and Bennett got the mount and started laying in ground and pound, and Lethal turtled up. He was defending the entire time, but Bennett unloaded on him for about 20 or 25 seconds. He stopped to complain to the ref that the match should be stopped. At that point, Lethal reversed him, laid in his own ground and pound for 5 seconds until the time limit expired. So it was a draw. The referee, Andrew Lethal, said, we'll go 5 more minutes, but Mike Bennett, being a cowardly heel, said no, and he went to the back. But the match is good.
Jay Lethal is a champion.
Jay Lethal is the television champion.
Why didn't Mike Bennett take us 5 more minutes?
He's because he's a heel. He's a coward. He wants... Because he thinks he has a better chance another day.
Mm.
He will only wrestle when he is fresh and prepared. Jay Lethal will go 15 minutes and go 5 more on the drop of a hat.
I see.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll have to see it.
And the other commercial, it was a weird finish. It almost felt like Lethal got saved by the bell, which isn't quite true. He was protecting himself, but he was still getting beaten on for 20 straight seconds after missing his finisher. So it was weird. And then they aired a commercial for Lucha Libre USA Masked Warriors. The theme of this commercial was that American wrestlers are old and you should watch our show instead, which is funny because I just watched a show where I think every guy on here was under 30. And as far as I can tell, the point of this commercial was for Lucha Libre USA Masked Warriors to say that their product is superior to TNA. Great.
I actually think they're already off television.
Even better.
I should actually confirm that because I don't want the folks at Lucha Libre Masked Warriors to be unhappy. Let's
just
see.
Just edit it off the show.
I'm pretty sure they're off television. I don't know. I should know this. Let me check the official website.
Well, if this... I won't say anything.
Hmm.
I was going to say, this kind of demonstrates... It demonstrates that whether or not they are on TV is not a big deal.
Well, they had an October 22 recap, but I don't know if they had an October 28th show. Maybe we'll ask Dr. Lucha tomorrow. He'd probably know more about Masked Warriors. Let's see if they're... Oh, yep. Lucha Libre USA was on the YouTube channel only this week. So apparently they are off Saturdays. That's what I thought. That sucks. All right, there's your ROH report. I'll be watching that later on tonight. Going to be a long one tonight. Before we go on, let's play a quick song here. And then we got some old school wrestling to talk about. And it is a free show, so we will do some shout-outs as well, of which we have in abundance. Let's try this one right here. Dynamite, it's called.
I came to dance. I hit the floor cause that's my pants, pants. I'm wearing all my favorite brands, brands. Give me some space for both my hands. You, cause it goes
went on and on and on and on and on and on.
That's
on. Went on and on and on and on and on and on and on.
Dynamite.
That's pretty good.
I enjoyed that.
That's pretty good. A quick song he threw together. It's pretty dang good there. Cyrus? That's his name, Cyrus.
The virus?
Let's see if he send me any more songs after that one. Cyrus, if you're listening to this, send me more! Oh my god, he's sent a lot of them.
Have you played them yet?
A lot of them. Dave Meltzer and Usher? Theme of Gracie? Oh, okay. Yeah, this guy's good. I recognize these. Let's play the theme of Gracie here really fast.
Oh,
Cyrus,
yes.
I'm going to start playing all your songs. I haven't got a new one from David Hoff Hoffy lately, so you may have to take its place. This is a good one. Gracie.
No one should terrify their neighborhood.
Gracie.
Just won't be undone. Playing pranks on everyone.
What was that?
Something just fell.
I hope that wasn't a cat falling off the railing.
The gang will reign supreme.
Cat invasion. They're coming to the studio.
Awesome song.
The sound effects really make it.
They really
because
do.
Because if you've ever seen Brian's cats, those are the noises you hear from random spots in the house.
Fucking Snork. She's got a new thing now. We don't let her in our bedroom. I don't want a cat in my bedroom. Besides, our bedroom has a bathroom. And the cat then goes into the bathroom. And it's jumping in shit and whatever. And the cat never does this for me, but it always does this for Whitney, which is the cat knows when she's about to go into the room, so it sneaks around the corner, and as soon as she opens the fucking door, it bolts in and hides under the bed. Only does it with Whitney. Never does it with me. I open the door and the cat stays out. It's not like both of us aren't telling the cat not to go in there, but for some reason, it only sneaks in. Like, it can hear Whitney coming from, like, you know, 2 blocks away in her car. You know, it'll as soon as, like, she's within 10 miles of the house, the cat will hide behind the banister upstairs. And she'll come in, she'll open the door, she'll walk up the stairs, she'll open the door, and bam! Cat zooms in. It's like, you fucking cat. And then, of course, it hides in there, and you know, at first we lured it out by going into its room and rattling its food bowl, so it bolted out. But after about 2-3 times of there not being food there, that don't work no more. So, certain things the cats only do with her and not me, and that's the new one. Bolting into the bedroom and hiding. Anyway. Which is funny, because then it just hides under the bed and it can't do anything. It's like, is it really that important to be in the room that you can't even play because you're hiding under the bed because you're afraid you're going to be thrown out? You know what I mean? It's not like it goes in there and it plays and runs wild and has fun. It sneaks in there and then hides under the bed. And it can't do anything under there except sit there and not get caught.
It's very important for cats that they be under as many beds as possible. This is what I've learned lately. Beds and couches.
Our cats never go under any beds or couches except this bedroom.
They go in the guest bedroom. They go under that bed.
Wait, if you chase them, they're trying to hide.
I have seen them crawl out from under the bed on their own.
Really?
Yeah.
What the hell are they doing under there?
Yeah, cats just like to be under things. Feel safe. I don't know.
Snorky never feels safe anywhere.
That may be true.
All right. Let's talk about some 24/7. And the great man known as Jimmy Valiant.
The theme, well, one of the themes this month is the Valiant Brothers. Sadly, that means there was also some Johnny V. And sadly, when Jimmy Valiant is on there, sometimes it was a Valiant Brothers tag match. And Jimmy Valiant, as one half of the heel tag team from the 70s, is not the Jimmy Valiant we want to see.
No.
The Jimmy Valiant we want to see is the Jimmy Valiant from Starrcade 84, who fought number one Paul Jones in a tuxedo street fight.
Yes.
This was gold. Absolute gold. Before this even began, just from the description, Whitney said, I won't quote this because I'm sure I'll screw it up, but she said, this is going to look just like the baptism on Real Housewives of New Jersey.
I don't know what she's talking about, but I need to banish her from shows like that.
I don't know if she was right. I don't know if that's what that happened.
This match...
All I know is if Jimmy Valiant is on Real Housewives of New Jersey, I will start watching.
I got a couple of things to say about Jimmy Valiant. Number one, he's my favorite wrestler, I think, of all time now. I would kill to have a match with Jimmy Valiant right now.
Yeah.
I would leave the studio and I would go into Buddy's ring with nobody around and just have a match with Jimmy Valiant.
It's 30 degrees here, by the way.
And that's telling you something, because I hate the cold.
Yeah.
Jimmy Valiant, this match... First off, I always thought the rules in the tuxedo match where you had to get your tuxedo torn off. Apparently not. They just had a street fight in tuxedos. So, of course, they both get introduced. And not only is Paul Jones... It's not even a tuxedo. They're just both in cheap suits.
Yeah.
And
before this even starts, though, they put up their WWE Classics graphic. It has their usual thing and their names and the date. And then it goes to the footage. It's from 1984... And even by the standards of 1984, it looks completely ghetto.
Yeah.
It was very, very, very low quality. So they got the house lights dimmed. You can see a bunch of bodies in the ring. And you can't see much else, but one of the bodies is standing in the middle of the ring, dancing.
Dancing.
It's Jimmy Valiant. He's having fun right then. So, yes, he was awesome before the house lights even came up.
If I could just watch Jimmy Valiant matches for 2 hours every Monday night, You cannot even imagine how great these shows would be, because I'd be so happy all the time. Jimmy Valiant is dancing, and he's bebopping, and the match starts, of course, and the first thing he does is he goes over and he ties number one Paul Jones to the ring ropes.
By his neck!
By his neck. He then proceeds to dance and shimmy around the ring in a joyous manner, and then he walks over and he starts punching number one Paul Jones. You... must. I don't care if you have to subscribe to cable and then subscribe to WWE Classics on Demand. I don't care if you have to buy a computer, which presumably you have given you're listening to this show, and buy Classics on Demand at WWE.com. I don't care how. Maybe it's probably on YouTube, quite frankly. Go find this fucking match. You have not lived until you have seen number one Paul Jones. Vinny, I demand you retract the statements you made about number one Paul Jones last week. Number one Paul Jones selling these punches as he's tied by his neck to the ring ropes in a tuxedo street fight with Jimmy Valiant was the best fucking thing I've ever seen. Outstanding. Jimmy Valiant throws these punches, the most preposterous selling.
What I saw him doing was leaning on the ropes, sticking his tongue out, and...
it was the best.
For lack of a better term, I would say windmilling his arms.
Yeah!
That's too much motion. He was calling a false start like a football referee. I know that means nothing to you, Brian.
Whatever the fuck that means.
Yeah.
He was doing a great job selling in a comical manner. I laughed uproariously.
Yeah, you enjoyed it more than I did.
Jimmy Valiant threw a bunch of punches, which looked light
Jimmy.
As a feather.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah.
Danced around more, started tearing off his clothes. And finally, of course, number one, Paul Jones got loose, and so he attacked Jimmy Valiant and got heat.
Now, by this point, he had been stripped to his...
skivvies.
His briefs, his dress shoes, and his socks.
Mm-hmm.
So he was basically wearing what wrestlers wear anyway.
Yes.
But he is trying to cover up.
He was madly embarrassed.
He was humiliated.
Yes.
To be showing thigh.
So he gets the heat. Now, I don't know how wrestlers put together matches today. God only knows. But back in the day, I would guarantee you that Jimmy Valiant and Paul Jones sat in the locker room and Jimmy Valiant said, "What do you want to do?" And Paul Jones said, "I don't know. What do you want to do?" And Jimmy Valiant says, "I'll tie you to the ropes. Get a little heat. I'll do my thing. We'll go home." That's what happened here. Paul Jones got heat briefly. He laid in a couple of punches or stomps or something like that. And then Jimmy Valiant did his thing. He began to shake and shimmy. And he began to Jimmy Valiant up.
He boogie-woogied up.
He boogie-woogied to his feet. He danced. He made his big comeback. And he won. Essentially.
It's complicated. Here's what the finish was. He put number one Paul Jones in a sleeper. He kept him in this hold. Paul Jones fought and fought, but after a minute or so,
he lost.
He appeared
to... I don't give a shit.
He appeared to go out. The referee dropped his arm once. He dropped his arm twice. He dropped his arm three times. The match should be over. The referee did this, by the way. He dropped the arm three times. He moved over to the ropes to call for the bell to be rung. Before he could do this, however, he was cut off by Paul Jones second, who was identified as one half of the Zambui Express. So, this man got in the referee's way so he could not call for the bell. Jimmy Valiant came over to hit one half of the Zambui Express. Somehow, with one punch, he managed to drop both men.
Mm-hmm.
So the referee's down, the one half of the Zambui Express is down. J.J. Dillon comes into the ring. He hits hits Jimmy Valiant with a gimmick in the head, and he puts Paul Jones on top. And the same referee, who 4 seconds ago was ready to declare the match over, turns around and counts the pin.
Yeah.
I do not understand this. I don't care.
I don't care either, because you know what?
It's Paul Jones, or it's Jimmy Valiant.
Even though I forgot who won when I initially did the recap of this match, which I blame on your notes, which have approximately 8 words in the entire recap of this match.
Yeah.
This was great. I'll tell you why. Same with the Mr. Perfect match.
Here's what my notes read about this finish, by the way. In entirety, that's quite the finish there.
Yes.
That's all it says.
I cannot comprehend that. And especially since the apostrophe in that is actually an O with a tilde above it. So I didn't even know what the fuck's going on here. But the reason this was great, and the reason that Mr. Perfect and Bret Hart was great, and the reason that most matches today nobody gives a shit about, is because back in the day, there were baby faces and heels.
Yes.
And there aren't anymore. There's like, you know, John Cena, who's pushed as a good guy, and then there's Alberto Del Rio, who is pushed as a bad guy, and they go toe-to-toe as equals, and then either the babyface wins clean, or a heel gets involved, and the heel, Alberto Del Rio, wins, and I guess, I don't know, the kids are sad because the guy didn't win or whatever, but there's no heat, nobody cares. Back in the day, like in the Jimmy Valiant match, it was like, okay, at the end of the day, Paul Jones was getting his hand raised. But before Paul Jones, the heel, got his hand raised, he got stripped to his undies. He got tied to the ropes. He got punched. He was rendered bloody. He was beaten up. His heat segment lasted like 10 seconds. And then Jimmy Valiant made a gigantic comeback. Jimmy Valiant had the win. And then in the end, Jimmy Valiant got fucked and Paul Jones got his hand raised. So fans were outraged. This motherfucker got his hand raised? This motherfucker here who got beat up, humiliated, stripped, and had lost, still got his hand raised in the end?
Yeah.
This was heat.
Yes.
People cared. Much like in the Bret Hart Shawn Mike or the Bret Hart Mr. Perfect match. Listen, that was far more of a modern match than anything we've watched in a while. You know, that match, you could put it on Raw nowadays, and it'd be the best match on Raw. You know, it was a fabulous match. But It wasn't just Mr. Perfect and Bret Hart going toe-to-toe, and then the babyface won. No. You see, Mr. Perfect was a heel. So Mr. Perfect was constantly pulling the man's hair and taking shortcuts and etc. You watch Dolph Ziggler nowadays and like Dolph Ziggler obviously watches all sorts of Mr. Perfect matches, right? Because he works exactly like him. Tries to take the same kind of bumps, hair looks exactly the same, you know, he tries to work like Mr. Perfect, he does a running leapfrog, the whole nine yards, but he's missing what Mr. Perfect did to be a heel. He's missing all of the little heel tricks that Mr. Perfect did that made you not like the guy. He's pulling Bret Hart's hair, you know? He's doing all these dastardly little things, so when Bret Hart ends up winning the match, it's like, wow, he beat this asshole. Yay! And people went nuts for the title change. My God, they went nuts for the title change. I don't know how many times we've talked about this match. Like I said, like a half dozen times. But I remember all this match. I can't even tell you how many times I watched this fucking match when I was a kid. I can't tell you how many times I rewound that snap suplex that Bret Hart did to Mr. Perfect.
There was a great suplex.
I rewound that thing like a thousand times, and I watch it in slow motion over and over and over and over again, hoping that someday I would be able to deliver a snap suplex exactly like Bret Hart did to Mr. Perfect. That's what I did back in the day. I just studied these matches over and over again. And now I watch them once and never watch them again because there's nothing that hooks you anymore. And it's sad, but Mr. Perfect and Shawn Michaels or Bret Hart was great, and Jimmy Valiant and number one Paul Jones, that was just such a great, fun, happy style of wrestling. It just, you know, the bad guy won, but you knew, here's the key too. The bad guy won, but when it was over, you kind of figured Jimmy Valiant's gonna get his in the end, you know? He's gonna get Paul Jones. Paul Jones is gonna get got in the end.
You felt, yes, regardless of the official decision, you felt Jimmy Valiant was the better man.
He was a better man.
There was injustice on this show, but justice will be coming down the road.
If you paid your money, one of these days you're gonna see Jimmy Valiant make Paul Jones pay.
Paul Jones has ass whooping and comeuppance coming his way, and that's what pro wrestling is.
Yeah. Well, it was.
That's what it's supposed to be.
Now, not everything back in the day was great, because I watched about 2 minutes of the Valiant Brothers against Gorilla Monsoon and Jay Strongbow, and I said, turn this shit off.
Yeah, I got nothing out of this, except Gorilla was even fatter than I remember.
And they called him Indian Jay Strongbow.
Indian Jay Strongbow.
Hmm.
Yeah. I don't
know if that's politically correct.
We'll get to that subject shortly here. Just two of the things that stood out from the Mr. Perfect match, and like you said, we've reviewed this countless times, but two things that stood out to me here were I have forgotten how goddamn hard that ring used to be. Like, locking up looked painful. Just walking on that slab of granite with a canvas over it. Bad fucking times. And then Perfect went out and had this match with a wrecked up back. Scary. The other thing I noticed is that, I never really noticed this before, Roddy Piper was really good on commentary. He was passionate. He was knowledgeable. He was enthusiastic and calling it like it was a real sport. He cared who won. He got you into it. He explained why guys were making mistakes or what they should be doing to win the match. He was great.
Yeah. To be honest, I'm not entirely positive he was really all that great or just standards have fallen greatly.
Might be a little of both. It could be that too.
He was very good.
He was much better than anyone working now.
He was very good, yes. So that match was awesome. And then we watched the USS Intrepid, the Yokozuna Body Slam Challenge. Oh, the mid-90s. The early 90s. This was like 1995. This was 1 month after I graduated high school. And
it was 93?
Almost exactly 2 years before I started the newsletter. I watched the Body Slam Challenge with Yokozuna, and Lex Luger showed up in the helicopter.
Yeah, the gimmick is, if none of you know this, Yokozuna had just defeated Hulk Hogan.
He was a big fat guy.
He was a big fat guy who had just beaten Hulk Hogan to win a second WWE title, and theoretically end Hulkamania forever. So he was declaring essentially a cultural war on the U.S., and he wanted to embarrass the United States by going on a boat on the 4th of July and proving that no American could lift him because he was too fat. I don't get it. I don't see how this proves the inferiority of one nation over the other. But they brought in football players and basketball players and hockey guys. And you know, Yokozuna was 500 plus pounds and dead weighted all of them. So I think Bill Frelick was a football player who got like one leg up and immediately gave up, and that was it. So, yes, none of them did anything. So, they brought out some wrestlers to do some spots. Tatanka tried running wild with chops on him, and I thought to myself, well, this is cheating. And he went up and hit a big top rope tomahawk chop, and he went for the slam and didn't get it. And then Yokozuna just kicked his ass, and I thought, good for you, Yoko, beat this cheater. Scott Steiner came out and slapped him across the face and tried to slam him. He couldn't get it. Crush came out. He got I believe he got him off the ground briefly. And that was the most anyone had gotten. Randy Savage was there. At this point, he was a commentator, but they were running out of guys. No one had slammed him yet. This was looking bad. So Randy Savage had to step in and try to save the day, but he came up short. No one could body slam him. And they did commentary for this, but it was on after the fact, which meant you got Vince McMahon in a studio knowing exactly what was going to happen. And in fact, the video was edited. So he probably, you know, he put together what he wanted to happen. And he was distraught, beside himself, about how, and this is a quote, America had been humiliated.
Yes.
Because he was too fat.
Mm-hmm.
So
then, Yoko, not Vinny.
Right.
Well, Vince. Vinny is fat.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Point being, eventually, a helicopter arrived, and who should get out but Lex Luger in a Stars and Stripes polo shirt. And up to this point in his WWF career, Lex Luger had been a heel. As Vince noted, to this point, he had been proud of himself, but now he was a proud American as well.
What a babyface turn.
He got in the ring. He cut a promo on Yokozuna. He buried him for eating rice and sushi. That's non-PC.
Clearly, he doesn't live on the West Coast.
Yeah.
That's all we eat out here.
Rice and sushi are great.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with rice and sushi.
I can't remember the last day I didn't have rice, to be honest with you. I literally cannot remember the last day that I did not have rice. And in fact, if a day comes where I haven't had rice in a long time, it really bothers me. I need my rice.
Rice is good.
Thought I'd bring that
up. Rice is good. So he tossed Fuji out of the ring, and they squared off for a bit, and they had a great stare down, let's be honest. Stare down was awesome. And eventually there was action. It was edited, so I'm not sure how much action, but Lex dodged a corner charge, and Yoko stumbled out of the corner, and Lex picked him up, and he body slammed him.
Yeah.
And it was not a perfect body slam, but as you noted, it was better than I remembered, too.
Yeah, I think maybe it was just because after it happened, you know, you see it, maybe you rewind it once, they show some clips. Actually, they probably showed it on about 80 television shows, but yeah. Bobby Heenan was always screaming that it was a hip toss!
Yes.
And looking back, I mean, yeah, you know, Yoko went up for him, obviously, but Yoko did a flip. He went ass over tea kettle, he landed on his back.
The memory I have of this is Lex getting up kind of in a body slam position and basically dropping him on his side.
Yeah, but
and if you watch it, yes.
He body slammed him.
Yokozuna goes upside down and lands in a somersault.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he body slammed him.
Now, granted, it was 90% Yokozuna doing the move.
Of course.
But still, you know, that was quite the spot.
Mm-hmm. People went apeshit on this boat, and Lex climbed the turnbuckles, and he had tore his shirt off, and it was Lex Luger, so that was a good idea. And everyone loved him, and it was all downhill from there.
Afraid so.
Yeah, but
This was something else.
So the gimmick was...
A blast from the past this was.
They had a segment, or a bunch of segments here, that were lumped together in a... It was things that happened in New York. So they had this, they had a Lawrence Taylor training session... They had the Undertaker-Hunter Hearst-Helmsley match from Shotgun Saturday Night where Hunter takes a tombstone on an escalator. If you've not seen that, that's worth taking your time to see. But these segments were all hosted by a member of the WWE roster who is from New York. And I guess there's only one guy. Well, as you know, Zack Ryder's from Long Island. They didn't get him. He had better things to do. They got Curt Hawkins. Oh my lord. He was so bad at this. He's so wretched at TV hosting. I have a newfound respect for like the Kevin Von Erich, Michael Hayes duo on the world class stuff. God. I have a new respect for everyone on earth except him. Think about this. This man has not been on TV in a good 6 months or more. And by the time I watched him introduce this match for 30 seconds, he was less over to me. He was better off not being on TV at all.
Yeah, I didn't think he was quite as bad as you.
I don't know what to tell you. he was like the worst I've ever seen at doing this. I watched the entire Randy Savage DVD, which is hosted by Matt Stryker and the Diva Maria. Way better. Way better. I've seen Christy Hemme do interviews.
What
way
did you
better.
Hate about this man?
Just how boring it is. And how he acted... Well, he acted. That's not good. But the whole thing seemed to be beneath him. He didn't want to be there. He had better things to do.
I didn't think he was hideous, but you know who he reminded me of?
No.
This probably will mean nothing to you. But Amir Sadala.
I see where you're going.
An Ultimate Fighter winner. And Spike is always using him for, I don't know what it is, like the UFC this moment.
Quick interviews and promos and
it's
stuff.
It's called the, what the hell is it called?
Slam of the Night.
Anyway, the point is, I don't think he's bad at it, but I don't think he's any good at it. And I'm just baffled as to why they have chosen him to do this. He rushes through everything. Mm-hmm. He rushes through everything like he's memorized it, but not done a very good job. And it's got a monotone quality to it.
Yes.
And it totally reminded me of Curt Hawkins. But they both do the exact same
thing. I see the similarities. I think Amir is way better.
He is better.
It's like I say.
It's something against Amir. It's just, listen, I watch a lot of UFC. I've seen a lot of guys do promos, and I've seen a lot of guys talk. And I could you know, put 40 guys in front of Amir that I think could do, well, maybe not 40. Let's be honest. I could put at least a dozen guys that would do a better job than Amir at this. But for some reason, Amir is the guy they have chosen as the voice of Spike in UFC. And it's very strange.
Amir comes off like a goofy guy who knows he's goofy and is just going through this thing. Curt Hawkins came off to me like a guy who thought he deserved better in life and deserved better with his company. And was treating this like it was beneath him, whereas in fact he was not good enough. He did not deserve this spot. There are 400 guys working on TV that they could have done this.
All right, we are going to get going here with the shout-outs, and we're going to wrap it up with a song. Of course, this is a free show, everybody, and we do a free Brian and Vinny show every 3 weeks. We are alternating of late. You get a week of Wrestling Observer Radio. You get next week, Figure Four Daily, and the week after that, you get Brian and Vinny show, and then we start the cycle over again. So if you love this show, but you only get to hear it once every 3 weeks... Boy, does it suck to be you. By the time the next free show comes along, you could have heard 6 Brian and Vinny shows. We do a show at least twice a week, sometimes on Sundays after pay-per-views. Rarely these days, I won't lie. But if it's not Vinny and I, it's myself and Dave Meltzer. We do, anywhere from 3 to 4 Wrestling Observer Radio, sometimes even 5 Wrestling Observer Radios during the course of a given week. We do Wrestling Observer Live. Tons of great radio show hosts on this website covering everything from mixed martial arts, the history of wrestling, the history of MMA. I do Figure Four Daily. We had Ultra Mantis Black of Chikara on the show today, which apparently everybody loved. So head up there and check that one out. We've had some of the biggest names in the history of wrestling. Bret Hart, who we talked about tonight, has been on the show. Johnny Valiant has been on the show. I don't think Jimmy Valiant's been on the show yet. But Chris Jericho has been on the show. Bruno Sammartino. Bryan Danielson. The list goes on and on. Mick Foley has been on the show. Batista has been on the show. Just tons and tons of big names. And if you sign up today, not only do you get all of these new shows we're talking about here, but every show that we've ever done is available in the archives. Meaning, if you love the Brian and Vinny show, for example, $10.99 is what it costs to sign up for a month. If you don't like it, you never have to sign up again. But if you sign up today for $10.99, not only will you get to hear Thursday's Brian and Vinny show, but you will get to hear the 3 shows I am doing tomorrow. A show with Dr. Lucha Steve Sims, a show with Josh Nason, and a show with Dave Meltzer, Wrestling Observer Radio. I've got, 3 shows coming up on Thursday as well. Got a brand new After Dark on Friday. Not only to get all of this new content, but you can go back to the archives and listen to some of the first Brian and Vinny shows that we did in 2005.
I don't recommend you do that, by the way.
Every Brian and Vinny show from 2005, 2006, 2007, 2008, 9, 10, 11, every show we've ever done, every show, Wrestling Observer Radio, Figure Four Daily, Adam and Mike Big Audio Nightmare, Tough Talk, Wrestling Weekly, every show on this website is available in the archives right now for you if you sign up. No extra fees. You don't have to pay extra for the archive. You get all of that for $10.99 per month. I've said this a million times. If you like the free show, you only get one a week. I guarantee that you will love a subscription to this website. I guarantee it. If you don't like it, you can email me. I will make it right. That never happens because, again, if you like this free show, I guarantee you will love a subscription. So check it out at WrestlingObserver.com. If you sign up, aside from all the radio shows and the newsletters, Wrestling Observer Newsletter and Figure 4 Weekly are available on the website every week. Figure 4 Weekly in PDF. We have observers dating back to, we got observers from 91, 92, 93, 94, and everything from 2008 is online, and we put up a new back issue every week. But, anyway, in addition to all of that, you get a free shout-out. Send me an email. Make sure shout-out is in the subject line. And if you sign up and send the shout-out, I'll read it here on the air. Pretty much don't care what you say. Obviously, we've got some standards here on the show, but if you ever listen to the show, standards are low. So I'll give you an example right here. Here are some shout-outs. This is from Steve. Brian, my baby seven-year-old, I don't know what this means. Maybe she's 7 pounds? Anyway, he has a new baby girl.
What does it say?
Kaylee Victoria Stone, born on September 20th, 2011. That's from Steve. We do a free shout-out for folks that procreate or get married. If you procreate or get married, you get a free shout out on this show because we're all family. So congratulations to Steve, Kaylee Victoria Stone. Hope I'm pronouncing that right. September 20th, 2011. Someday she's going to look back and go, wow, can't believe dad did that for me. What a great dad Steve is. And he adds, I hate Raw.
Well,
these are the two most important things in his life.
This baby's going to be fine.
His daughter and the fact that he hates Raw.
This daughter's going to have a long, healthy, happy life.
Indeed.
Yes.
Steve's a good guy.
Man knows what he's doing.
All right. Ace here says, thanks for reading my shout-out on the show the other night. We were so excited. Even Jake shouted with excitement. That's his young boy, Jake. Jamie said, you did give her a live, how's it going? After hearing Raul's shout-out with a picture, though, I had to include a couple of pics, too. Hope you guys are going to be back down here for the Velasquez Dos Santos fight. Indeed, I will! But I'm going down Saturday and coming back Sunday, so I'm not sure what the plans are. But Ace has provided a picture here of his lovely wife and their lovely young bugger, the cutest little bugger. So a big thank you to Ace and the whole family. We read their shout-out last week as well. All right, just listen to the most recent BNV. Oh, this guy's thanking me for a shout-out as well, neverhandover.com. Everyone's thanking me for shout-outs that I've given them. All right, this guy is Solid Snake, I believe he said. Guys, it's Hugh. Oh, there you go. Metal Gear's Hug from Scotland. Been a member of your awesome site for 6+ months. Will continue to do so. I'd like to thank you, Vinny, and Granny, who is awesome. I recently went through a bad time in my life when my mother suddenly passed away.
That sucks.
It does suck. But thanks to your shows, you guys put a smile on my face. So again, thank you. I loved the show this past Tuesday after the worst Raw ever and comparing it to a previous bad one. Shout out to my awesome girlfriend, Nat, and a big fuck you to her parents. Stop being assholes. I don't want to get involved with this.
I do remember that show we did 2 or 3 weeks ago now. This Raw was worse than that Raw.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. To all the freeloaders, sign up now. You get a shitload of content that will entertain you for hours. For what? $12 a month? Actually, it's $11.99. $12? $10.99. I forget how much our site is.
It's worth double the price.
And you will not regret it, he says. Or if you do, it's $8. I'm sure you will get over it. Anyway, I want to thank you guys again. Keep up the good work. And we'll talk again after a while. Fine shout out, my friend. All right. Oh, this appears to be spam.
Read it.
No. But it has the term shout out in it.
Oh, those bastards.
There you go.
Sneaky, sneaky bastards.
For some reason, I can't delete this thing.
You sure?
Oh, because it's in... I see how it works. All right. Shout out for B&V. This is from Matthew. All right, B&V, I finally subscribed first time last month after reading Figure 4 Wrestling Observer reports that on every wrestling website I check. I am from Marysville,
Oh, hey.
Oh, my God. But I've been around the country looking for work recently. Living under a constant overcast can get dreary, but the flatness and treelessness of the Midwest is a far cry from the Evergreens and Cascades.
I would imagine.
I see now why everyone from California is moving to Seattle and ruining our state. Actually, hopefully they move up here and teach people how to fucking drive. I have two quick questions.
California?
Oh, yeah. I'm all for California driving here in this state.
Huh.
Did you ever work for ECCW from Canada? No, I did not. I did ICW, and Tim Flowers would have literally killed me.
Yeah.
And I worked for ECCW. I remember helping them set up chairs, and they were doing a show in Everett around 2000. Funny enough, I also remember one of the wrestlers telling my friend and I that he had been on Jerry Springer before, and that was the first time I learned Springer was a work. That's right.
Yeah.
Secondly, do you believe Dave works too hard, and or would you consider him a serious workaholic? Dave, what about me?
And if they do work too hard.
I do work too hard. And if you have time, does watching TNA have a negative effect on your life since you have to watch it?
Actually,
no, it doesn't. Because let's be honest. We watch the show, we hate it, we bitch about it, and I swear to God I forget all about it.
It's...
This show is therapy.
Oh, our show.
Yeah.
Oh, I...
If I
have better use of my 2 hours than to watch TNA.
Well, yes. If I actually, TNA's been a lot better lately.
You're right. I'm thinking in the general.
If I didn't have to watch TNA, I wouldn't. Although, you know what? Last few weeks, I don't mind it. But in general, over the last 10 years, if I didn't have to watch TNA, I wouldn't. But given that I have to, if I didn't do this show, I'd be crazy by now. I need this show. Let's just put it that way.
I will say that right now, if you gave me the option of which show I never had to watch again, I would immediately pick Raw.
Oh, me too. Without question right now. Anyway, big thanks to Matthew for that one.
By the way, if you are in the Marysville area, Marysville not far away from Tulalip, Washington.
Mm-hmm.
And I may as well plug this show. Is it? I believe it's Friday night. This Friday at Tulalip Championship Wrestling, Gangrel will be appearing.
How about that?
Big star. So,
Tulalip Championship Wrestling.
Yeah.
I, however, will not be appearing.
I don't think I will either.
I have retired. I really think I've, honest to God, retired this time. Like, I have absolutely zero desire to ever have another match. This business has just destroyed my smile. This is from Jared. Loved the show. Didn't realize the voice behind Minus 5 Stars was also the pen behind Death of WCW. Great book. Really? About that. Has that book been out that long that people... don't realize that anymore. Not sure if you still do shout-outs. I do, in fact. What happens when you combine improvisational comedy with wrestling? The answer is the weekly comedy game show podcast known as Shoot Promo. Two teams of wrestling fans discuss, dissect, and dilute the past week of wrestling every Wednesday, 7 p.m. GMT, 2 p.m. Eastern. Podcast is available on iTunes and also Podomatic. For more information, go to @ShootPromoShow on Twitter. Just recorded our fourth show. If you fancy having a listen, give us some feedback. That would be awesome. In fact, he says he's invited me onto the show. I will go on the show someday, so email me, and we'll set it up. P.S. might want to have your web guy look at the shout-out page. Oh. May have messed that up. I'll take a look at that, Jared. I'd be happy to do your show as well. All right, Martin here. My shout-out goes to Granny, who made me a paying customer on your site. I have a confession to make. I used to download your shows for free.
Bastard!
One time the distributor had to cut the Granny segment because he didn't like it. I got very disappointed at the Granny segment. It had become my favorite of the week. And then and there, I decided to become a paying customer. Stayed that way for over a year. I have no plans on reverting back to my old ways. $10.99 per month is really not very much. And in hindsight, I cannot believe what a cheap ass I used to be. That is from Martin.
That's an amazing story.
Martin, I really do appreciate that.
Every part of that is amazing.
And Granny is more than compensated, believe me.
So there's someone out there who's getting our show, sending out to his friends for free, but piracy is not enough. He must also edit it.
What a prick.
What an asshole.
What a cock. We have more from Steve, by the way. Kaylee Victoria was born September 30th, 7:45 a.m., 7 pounds, 6 ounces. I never thought I'd find something that would surpass wrestling as the love of my life, but is my life now. Steve, I know what you mean, but wrestling sucks nowadays.
Sucks cock.
And her mom, too, he says. Hi, Sarah! I had to cut a ton of stuff out of my life because of the baby being born to save money, but F4W is the only thing I kept. Thanks for getting me through the grueling work days. That's from Steve. Steve actually has been around for a long time, and he is a great guy. And a big thank you to Steve. And a congratulations to Steve and Sarah on this new little bugger, Kaylee Victoria. All right. This is from Brandon. I've been a member for a couple of years. I had to cash in my shout out. I have started a business making habanero pepper sauce. I'd like to plug my page, www.berthelotspeppersauces.com. Berthelots, peppersauces.com. Berthelotspeppersauces.com. I don't even want to click this link.
You think it's maybe a trap?
I'm going to do it. Nope, it's legit. Oh! First thing on the Facebook page is the official mascot of Berthelot's Pepper Sauces. It is an adorable little cat. How about that?
Now I gotta look it up.
Ah, that's cute. That's a great way to get me to endorse your pepper sauce there, Brandon.
Posing with a bottle of the sauce.
Yes. Berthelotspeppersauces.com. If you like the page and send your address to berthelotspeppersauces@gmail.com, I will send anyone a free promotional bottle while supplies last. How about that? P.S. Brian, if you and Vinny would like a bottle, I will be glad to send you each one. Send an address to berthelotspeppersauces@gmail.com. Everybody, you can get a free bottle here by simply emailing berthelotspeppersauces@gmail.com. And the Facebook page, berthelotspeppersauces.com.
Oh, when did he send this email?
3 days ago.
Oh, all right.
Why do you ask?
Because there's a note here he has on his Facebook page on October 22nd. Unfortunately, that is the end of the free sauce promotion.
Nope.
All right.
And this is for the readers of our site. He sent this just days ago.
I stand corrected.
That's right. Everybody, listen up. Give it a shot. berthelotspeppersauces@gmail.com is the place to go. All right. And finally here, Jeff, I'm cashing in my Procreation shout-out.
By the way, they're based in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, so they know their hot sauce.
Mm-hmm. On October 21st, 2011, my wife and I welcomed Alexander Jeremy Hansen into the world.
What's the thing with everybody spawning today?
Although in fetus form, I nicknamed him Zombo, after Frank Zombo of the mighty, mighty Green Bay Packers. Shoutouts go to the mighty, mighty Green Bay Packers, DeBelt, Kuhn, Donald Driver, the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, Andy Fantas, Jason the Athlete McDonald, and the W. Fuck-offs go to the Minnesota Vikings, Brett Favre, the Calgary Stampeders, Henry Burris, Nick Lewis, Dwight Anderson, Old Man Wes Cates, Brendan Tomlin, and Mac Danzig. Oh, and I'm pretty happy about my wife, too. That's from Jeff. I hope she's listening. All right, everybody. Those are the shout-outs. A fine batch of shout-outs on the show today. We're going to wrap it up with a song. What are we going to play here? Let's play another song by Cyrus, the non-virus, I presume. Although this could be Cyrus, for all I know. Ricky Itake and Beyonce. We haven't played this for a long time. Here we go! That was annoying.
Put the Swahili on him. Swahili.
One finally time drop, apparently.
I fucking hate that song. Not the song this person made, the Beyonce one.
All right, let's try one more. Since someone mentioned this on the website, let's play this one, also from Cyrus.
Baby, let me love you down. There's so many ways to love you. Maybe I can break you down. There's so many ways to love ya. Got me like, oh my God, I'm so in love. I found you finally. You make me wanna say, oh, 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 oh.
my God.
I think I enjoy that more than I should have.
Built that one up for a while there. All right, everybody, we are out of here. Tons of shows coming up in the next couple of days. If you don't sign up, you are missing out. Take my word on this. If you don't sign up, you are missing out. And it sucks to miss out. Talk to you again after a while.
Bye.